You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Jungle Deep, 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 the podcast that explores the tropical lifestyle. Hello and welcome to the podcast, Jungle Deep. This is your host, Dr. Jones. We are on safari, and I'm here with you to learn, to have fun, and to explore the jungle. Uninitiated, it can be amazing to learn about just how many items we use and enjoy on a daily basis that come from the tropics. Our field correspondent, Kelly Patterson, is reporting in today about another favorite that some of us would hate to have to do without, and that is coffee. Where did it come from originally? How much coffee is produced each year? How does the growing of coffee impact the environment? We're going to learn the coffee basics and learn a new way to enjoy coffee with another one of Kelly's recipes. In addition, we're going to hear some rainforest music from my collection, two tracks from the Rainforest Awakening album by Geraldo Miguel Maza. So grab a cup of your favorite steaming coffee, sit back and relax, and enjoy this musical introduction to coffee.
Thank you.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a 4-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit PetLifeRadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Well, we have the pleasure now of talking to Kelly Patterson, who is our field correspondent about exotic food and drink, drinks and food from the tropical rainforest. And Kelly, are you there with us today?
I am here.
Ah, great. Well, we're going to have fun talking about the topic of coffee. Is that what you've got for us today?
Yes.
Yes.
All about coffee. I call it a coffee break.
Very good. Well, we're going to take about a 15-20 minute coffee break right now and get educated about coffee. Now, I love coffee. Coffee is a part of my routine. I think that's probably true of a lot of people. Can you give us some idea? Is coffee as popular with others as it is with me?
It is. In fact, the number one consumers of coffee in the world are actually the Finnish people. America is only number 25, believe it or not.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Really? Well, I always knew the French love their coffee.
Yes, they do. Yes, but
we're
very big in Scandinavia, Norway, Iceland, Denmark. These are all at the very top of the coffee consumers.
Those are pretty cold places, too, it seems
exactly.
to me.
Exactly.
you might need coffee to survive.
Exactly.
But still, I am surprised. We're like 25th on the list, did you say?
Yeah, that was as of 2010, latest numbers I could find.
I see. Well, that's pretty current. My goodness, we know coffee comes from a tropical plant, right?
Yes.
Tell us some more. Yeah. Tell us about coffee, what we ought to know about this.
Okay. You may have heard the legend. There's a legend about coffee that it began with a goat herder in Ethiopia whose goats munched on coffee berries and became so energized that he reported this amazing find to his local monastery. And then the abbot from the monastery then supposedly brewed a beverage from the coffee berries and found himself so alert and energetic that the coffee phenomenon was born. Well, that story is apocryphal, but it is a fact that coffee does come from that region. The first evidence of coffee consumption comes from the Sufi monasteries of Yemen and in Egypt as far back as the 15th century. So it started in that area. Mm-hmm. And one possibility for the popularity of coffee in that region all along has been the Muslims have a prohibition against alcohol. So that just kind of gives them a substitute, so to speak.
Gives them a substitute, something else, yes. And so I imagine coffee is the coffee plants. It grows on like a small tree, as I understand it, and grown a lot throughout the tropics. But it started over in Africa, obviously.
Yeah, it started in the Middle East, that area, and then it through trade moved to Europe. First in Venice. The first European coffee house was opened in Venice in 1645.
Wow, we know that?
Yes, believe it or
not. Who kept track of that one?
And then from there, the Dutch got hold of some coffee plants, so suddenly they took it and planted it in Java. So suddenly it's being grown in another region besides, you know, the Middle East, Africa. And then the French took it to Martinique. So it began spreading throughout the world as other regions got hold of coffee. So now the number one growers of coffee are Brazil.
Well, I thought that, you know, coffee generally came from tropical countries, but from what you're saying, they not always. Apparently some coffee's grown in more temperate areas. Which I didn't know. That's interesting.
Yeah, the top five countries right now are Brazil, Vietnam, Indonesia, Colombia, and India. So planting.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you know how it's actually grown? Does it require, it's an understory kind of plant. It can grow in the shade of other trees, and so it doesn't have to be a monoculture plantation.
That's actually what you're describing is the sustainable way to grow coffee. There are two ways. It could either be shade grown, which is what you're describing, or sun grown. And shade grown is the original method, and that's more sustainable. The coffee is planted in the shade of indigenous trees, which helps to maintain the natural habitats of native animals and insects. And it also requires less water with this method.
That makes sense.
Yeah. In the 70s and 80s, sun-grown coffee became popular with large-scale producers because it provides high yields in less time, but it means chopping down all the trees and the increased use of pesticides and fertilizers. It uses more water.
Oh, let's do that. That sounds good.
Yeah. So, there is a movement away from that, but
it's like other tropical crops we've talked about already, that there's talk about sustainable production. There's some movement towards it. There may be some organizations set up within the industries to kind of promote it, but we're not very far down that road. And right now, most of it is produced unsustainably. Am I right about that with coffee?
Yeah, a lot of the large scale producers are doing that. It's like fair trade. Fair trade coffee means that a grower is guaranteed a negotiated pre-harvest price. There is a movement toward that, but unfortunately, consumers say they're in favor of that, but don't want to pay for fair trade coffee. They don't want to pay the extra.
What do you know about organic coffee?
Just that it's like we're talking about with the shade grown. You don't need the pesticides and the fertilizers and all that as much with the shade grown. But, again, these large scale producers are just looking to save a buck.
Well, I know organic is not a big part of the market. In fact, I've read that it's something like 3% of coffee production is actually produced organically. But it is growing, and they've seen growth in the 10 to 30% a year growth mm-hmm. in purchasing of organic coffees. And that, of course, is better for the environment, better for consumers.
That's right.
It costs more, of course. Apparently, there's a growing market for it. So that's a good thing. At least there's some of that going on. But again, when you say,
right.
If it's only 3% of the crop that's grown organically, that means 97% is not organic. Then you're back to artificial fertilizers and pesticides and all this garbage that so damages our environments. But do you have any numbers about how big is this coffee industry? You surprised us,
exactly.
Or me at least, with those numbers about the banana crops being the fourth largest in the world.
Yeah, it was actually kind of hard to find. I know it's one of the top traded commodities. It's traded like a commodity on the commodities exchanges.
Oh, I think I might have just found something here. I don't know if I can believe this, but this is what it says. It's a list of companies that produce coffee of the 20 top countries. It's just like you said, Brazil, Vietnam, Indonesia, Colombia, India, and so forth and so on. The total in tonnage, 8,359,376 tons.
Wow.
That was 2 years ago. It's probably bigger today.
Right.
8 million tons. Okay, I'm just starting to get really educated. 100 billion bananas and 8 million tons of coffee. Oh, I laugh a lot, but that's usually a cover for wanting to cry. I mean, so much of this environmental, when you consider the environmental cost of doing these things.
Right. Well, yeah, like you said, 97% of it's not organic.
It makes my soul ache. It just really upsets me. I'm in that space today, and I have to apologize to our listeners. If we didn't have topics to stay on, I'd probably make a real mess of things. I'm very upset about what I'm learning. I'm trying to get a clear picture of just where we are with the destruction of the environment these days. It's getting more and more into focus, and the more in focus it gets for me, the less I want to see it. But it's heartbreaking. But coffee is great stuff. We love coffee. I don't want to give up my coffee.
I would just like
not to destroy the environment at the same time I'm drinking my coffee. I don't feel good about that. That's not okay.
No.
Well, is there anything more you can tell us? I need to shut up.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Dog Shelter Blues, the new novel by Mark Conkling. This hard-hitting story lights up the world of animal rescue with engaging characters and their pets, struggling with their own internal demons as they attempt to rescue innocent creatures that sometimes bring a mysterious transforming power to broken lives. Read the first chapter of Dog Shelter Blues free at dogshelterblues.com and come along a breathtaking journey that ends with an astonishing triumph of good over evil. Order your copy of Dog Shelter Blues today, available at amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Jones. I believe that the destruction of the tropical rainforest is humankind's greatest environmental problem. Not climate change, not pollution, not nuclear waste, not food production, not a whole host of topics you could add to the list. I care about these things, and I have to admit that climate change and the depletion of the oceans have my particular attention, but I know that the destruction of the tropical rainforest is number one. Now, I would not be surprised if you told me that none of the people around you in your daily life are doing anything to help save the remaining tropical rainforest. We obviously have to change this situation. Many people do not take action on this issue because they're confused about what to do. Confusion breeds inaction. Well, I have a solution. Visit the Jungle Deep website and look in the directory at the top of the show homepage for my new article called How Can I Help Save the Rainforest? It includes my 5 steps to saving the rainforest. It's simple, direct, clear-cut. I probably shouldn't have used that expression. It's direct and it's simple. Anyone can follow these steps, and everyone should. Get a copy into the hands of everyone around you. At the very least, it's a great conversation starter. And together, when there is enough of us taking action, we will save both humanity and the planet. Read and print out the list, 5 Steps to Saving the Rainforest, from the Jungle Deep website. Go to calaverasgold.tv and click on Jungle Deep in the directory.
Love My Pets, the new single by Mark Winter, available in iTunes.
Thinking about buying a monkey? How about a ferret or a skunk? Then check out the show that will answer the burning questions: where do you get them? What do you feed them? How do you take care of them? And most of all, what were you thinking? With exotic pet expert and author Bob Tart, every week on demand from PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Now, more of
Jungle Deep. Deep.
What else can you tell us about coffee?
I can tell you that there are a lot of choices involved with coffee. And well, after the planting, whether you decide whether you want to do the shade grown or the sun grown, you can decide how you want to cultivate it. Will it be hand-picked or strip-picked? And hand-picked means that the berries will be picked at the peak of ripeness, but of course it requires people to pick it and it's time-consuming. Strip-picked is they just go in and pick them all, ripe or not, and then it's fermented, where the fleshy part of the berry is removed and the seeds remain. Then the seeds are washed, which uses a lot of water, dried, roasted, and grated by shade from light to dark, and then it goes to market. And then the consumer has all these choices. Do you buy it ground? Do you buy beans? Do you grind it yourself? How do you brew it? French press, drip machine, percolator, espresso maker, instant coffee. There's just choices galore with coffee.
Well, to flash back on what something you just said a moment ago, it takes 37 gallons of U.S. gallons of water to produce the coffee beans needed to produce just one cup of coffee.
Yes. Yes.
So water consumption for the production of coffee apparently is a very big environmental concern. And in a world that has less and less fresh water all the time, this could get to be a problem. Okay. So there's all these wonderful different kinds of coffee. I haven't sampled enough of them, I'm sure. But I'm going to work on that. What else can you tell us?
many people are afraid of the health effects from coffee. They think that, you know, it's not good for them. But in fact, coffee has been found to reduce the risk for certain diseases such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, heart disease, and type 2 diabetes. It can exacerbate anxiety in those who are prone to anxiety disorders, or, you know, it causes issues for people who are sensitive to caffeine, but it's generally not the health villain that it's made out to be.
Well, good.
Yeah, so there is good news there. And
like so many things, you know, taken in moderation.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And then I just have kind of a fun fact here. The term coffee break was coined in 1952 by the Pan American Coffee Bureau. you know, coffee was coming into offices. You know, they had getting coffee machines and coffee vent.
Now, see, I would have thought coffee breaks is something that just kind of evolved organically, but you're saying it was actually created by a coffee bureau?
Yes. Yeah. People drinking coffee. You know, because then coffee becomes associated with break. So if you're taking your break, you have to get a cup of coffee.
That's right. And everybody loves breaks. So by association, you got to love your coffee, right? That's pretty clever. That's pretty clever.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's great. You come up with some neat information. That's terrific.
Fun facts.
Hey, do you know how coffee is decaffeinated, though, for those that prefer it that way? I've always wondered, is there any downside to that?
Yeah, it's a water process. Basically, it's a soaking process to remove caffeine. And then the caffeine, in turn, is sold mostly to the pharmaceutical industry.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, so...
So it takes even more water to produce decaffeinated coffee.
Yes.
But they don't use any kind of solvents or chemicals to neutralize that caffeine. There's nothing health-wise to worry about there.
No.
That you
know. They just,
I see. Okay. Well, okay. Very good. That's a little bit of good news.
Yeah.
All right. Are you going to tell us you have some fun and interesting ways to experience coffee?
I do. Coffee is actually very versatile and can be used as an ingredient in cooking and cocktails. I like to put it in sauces. You just add a little bit of coffee to certain things and it just gives it a really interesting flavor. But I have beverages today. In 1993, the state of Rhode Island, the state Senate voted to make coffee milk the official Rhode Island state beverage.
Okay.
So
I don't even know what coffee milk is. I know what milk in my coffee is.
You know, I didn't either until I married a guy from Rhode Island. Yeah, it's very big in Rhode Island. They make coffee syrup. The most famous one is by a company called Autocrat. I see it here in the grocery store, but they sell it online too. It's like a chocolate syrup or, you know, whatever, but it's coffee flavored with sugar in it. So you would just add that to milk and stir it up and you've got the official Rhode Island state beverage.
Do they drink that cold or hot?
Yeah, cold.
Cold. Okay. Cold.
And then for a more adult beverage, I have one called the Barfly.
The Barfly. Okay.
Which uses 2 ounces of Caruba Dark Jamaica rum, 1 ounce cold black coffee, 3/4 ounce pineapple juice, 1/2 ounce fresh lime juice, and 1/2 ounce of ginger syrup and a dash of grapefruit bitters. And you would just shake all that and strain it into a cocktail glass.
I'm sorry, you said a dash of what?
Grapefruit bitters.
Grapefruit bitters.
Yeah.
Let's see, we're using Skype, and sometimes words drop out, and I think that dropped out just then. And I, you know, with a recipe, I figured our listeners would go, what was that? What was
Yeah.
Well, we will have this recipe on, as we always do, on the show notes page for this episode, and you'll be able to check it out there and follow that there. Grape juice bitters?
Yeah, pineapple juice. Pineapple juice and lime juice.
All right. It's amazing to me all the things they come up with.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I could ever afford to truly stock a bar the way it should be done. But if that ever happens, I'm going to call on you. Because you'll know.
Yeah, it's less
all the things.
To do it gradually.
Yes, I guess a lifetime pursuit, perhaps.
It could run into some money.
Well, that's fascinating. So what do you end up with now?
Yeah, you shake it with ice and strain it into a cocktail glass. So, you know, you end up with something that, you know, shaped like a martini. It's not super sweet. It's just sweet enough. You know, it's, yeah, I like it. I'm a fan.
Well, I appreciate, again, you've had some great information. It made us a little more aware of one more crop, one more product, one more thing we enjoy from the tropical rainforest of the world. And hopefully we'll appreciate it maybe even a little more. And I am hopeful that others will do more to help make sure these things get done sustainably, if that is possible. We at least got to work towards that. We're running out of time here. The gifts of the rainforest are amazing and very abundant. It's just one reason why we need to protect
it.
And I so appreciate your contributions to our podcast here and telling us about today, coffee.
Thank you.
And we're going to look forward to hearing what you come up with next. Really, really. It's a great addition to the show. And I want to thank you, Kelly.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait.
Bye-bye, Kelly.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The music in this podcast has been, in the intro, Jericonda Mix by Ken Jones with Apple Music Loops, and Odyssey by Gerardo Miguel Maza. After the break, we heard Offering by Gerardo Miguel Maza, and a segment in our episode closing is by Don Tiki called Jungle Julie. Be sure to share Jungle Deep Podcast with your friends and co-workers. Audience growth is especially important for Jungle Deep to succeed and prosper, so share the show. You can see beautiful photos and learn more about Jungle Deep at our website, calaverasgold.tv. Now that's Spanish, Calaveras, C-A-L-A-V-E-R-A-S, gold, G-O-L-D, like the mineral, .tv, like television. You gotta check it out. Where else can you go for this kind of fun? Just click on the Jungle Deep title in the header directory. Our show notes pages have valuable links for you. I invite you to email me at jungledeep@calaverasgold.tv and follow me on Twitter. Search for Jungle Deep or KenJones56, all one word. I would love to hear your ideas for the show. Well, the show's over for today, so it's time to refill my Mai Tai, mount my elephant, and head back into the jungle.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.